Bran was almost afraid to sit to supper that night, but when he did, it was pigeon pie they set before him. Everyone else was served the same, and he couldn't see that anything was wrong with the food they served the Walders. Maester Lewin has the truth of it, he told himself. Nothing bad was coming to Winterfell, no matter what Jojen said. Bran was relieved, but disappointed too. So long as there was magic, anything could happen. Ghosts could walk, trees could talk, and broken boys could grow up to be knights. But there isn't, he said aloud, in the darkness of his bed. There's no magic, and the stories are just stories. And he would never walk, nor fly, nor be a knight. Tyrion. The rushes were scratchy under the soles of his bare feet. My cousin chooses a queer hour to come visiting, Tyrion told a sleep-befuddled Podrick Payne, who doubtless expected to be well roasted for waking him. See him to my solar, and tell him I'll be down shortly. It was well past midnight, he judged, from the black outside the window. Does Lancel think to find me drowsy and slow of wit at this hour? He wondered. No, Lancel scarce thinks at all. This is Cersei's doing. His sister would be disappointed. Even abed, he worked well into the morning, reading by the flickering light of a candle, scrutinizing the reports of Varys' whisperers, and poring over Littlefinger's books of accounts until the columns blurred and his eyes ached. He splashed some tepid water on his face from the basin beside his bed and took his time squatting in the guardrobe, the night air cold on his bare skin. Sir Lancel was 16 and not known for his patience. Let him wait and grow more anxious in the waiting. When his bowels were empty, Tyrion slipped on a bedrobe and ruffed his thin flaxen hair with his fingers, all the more to look as if he had been awakened from sleep. Lancel was pacing before the ashes of the hearth, garbed in slashed red velvet with black silk undersleeves, a jeweled dagger and gilded scabbard hanging from his sword belt.